101.9.
Welcome to Living Extraordinary with Bishop John Guns and the St. Paul Church. Prepare your heart now to be blessed by today's message.
I've come to this incredible place of understanding that churches are not accidental. Churches are work. Churches happen because enough people decide they want to put the work in to make their church biblical. Everyone say biblical. It gets to a point where you decide we're gonna do the stuff we need to do to make sure our church, LaJona, is biblical, or our church operates according to the word and will of God. A part of the big mistake, Jamisha, that churches are making is that we're building our churches on brands and demographic studies and marketing strategies, and we're not simply trusting the word of God. The word of God is foundational to every healthy, functional, and godly church. If a church ever decides to be biblical, it will not fail. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to have every church going to have 10,000 members, because just contextually, some churches are not in a contextual place to do that. You know, they're not. I mean, if you're in rural Virginia, you're not going to have 10,000 members. But you can be healthy, you can accomplish the purpose of God, and you can achieve everything that God has ordained for your church to when everybody decides to become biblical. Well, what's interesting is a part of this is that the church has to decide to be koinonia. And koinonia to me has become so defining. My fear, if I can be very transparent, my fear is that once I stop preaching and teaching it, I don't want it to go like out of mind, you know, like out of sight, out of mind. Because if I transfer this enough to you and you take it on, and then when I have to move on as your pastor to teach or preach something else, you won't let it die, because koinonia will now not be what we've learned. It'll be who we've become. Does that make sense? It's important then that we protect this. That we protect this, because this is the only way God's going to get absolute maximum glory out of this church. We have to be koinonia. We don't have to be big. We don't even have to be organized. We have to be koinonia. We have to be koinonia. Everybody got that? We have to be koinonia. We can't be anything else. So koinonia is about four things. It's the love culture of the church, but it's about four things. It's about community. It's about intimacy. It's about identification. And it's about covenant. It's about community. It's about community. It's about identification. Identification means that if I stay within a community long enough, I become identified with that community. So if I stay within a koinonia environment long enough, I'm going to become that. And then people are going to, as I said on Sunday, according to Acts chapter 4, people are going to identify me. As the apostles were identified, oh, these men must have been with Jesus. They're going to identify me, not as a member of St. Paul, but as a member of the body of Christ first. So it starts with community, this sense of unity, this sense of commonality. We are common together. We have like things, one mind, one spirit, one heart. We have like things. We're community, right? But then from there is identification. From there is covenant. Covenant has to do with agreement. So now we become people who agree together. We agree. You know, the Bible talks about one Lord, one faith, one baptism in Ephesians 4. We agree together. But then there's this last thing, and it's powerful. It's intimacy. That we now become affectionate and vulnerable. So when I come into the experience of worship, I do not feel the need to hide from you. I'll give you a great example of vulnerability. Galatians chapter 6, and the Spirit just hit me to show you this. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 17. Okay, I'm Galatians 6, 17. Got it? Okay, let's all read together. What does it say? Now hear that. He said, to conclude, let no one give me any more trouble because the scars I have on my body show I'm the slave of Jesus. Now, these scars, Deidre, were covered by clothing. Like, and what Paul is referring to is what we read in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about everything that he's been through. Let me find it. Yeah, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's turn there real quick. Beginning at verse 23. 2 Corinthians 11. And Paul says, are they Christ's servants? I sound like a madman, but I'm a better servant than they are. He says, I've worked much harder. I've been in prison more times. I've been whipped much more. I have been near death more often. 5 times I was given 39 lashes by the Jews. 3 times I was whipped by the Romans. Once I was stoned. So he talks about all of this stuff that he's been through. And so their garments and their clothing, Yada, covered their bodies. And so, Tony, this man in Galatians 6 says, you know, that the scars on my body reflects Jesus Christ, reflects that I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. The only way, Pastor Jeff, that they could know that, because they couldn't see it, because his clothing covered it. So he shared his scars. See, in Koinonia, you do not live in fear of exposure. Because that's the only way you are really healed, by sharing your scars. Wow. That's why church is so hard, because y'all got too many clothes on. That's why church is hard. Church is hard because you're so busy trying to prove to me you have no scars. I mean, you know, you're trying to prove, you know, that you are the upwardly mobile arrived one. And the mistake you're making is that there is no healing until you show your scars. And so in Koinonia, Erica, we create enough of an environment where, Corliss, we can show our scars. That's what intimacy is. It's sharing us with each other. Listen, Tabiana, how do I know, Sister Robinson, what to pray for if you don't ever tell me this is what I need? Listen, don't put a demand on the anointing of your leader to figure you out when you could just tell him. That is good, isn't it? Yeah, you know, you think people are deep because they read your name. No, tell your story. Koinonia is a place of vulnerability. It's a place of exposure. It's a place of openness. And so most people will never become great partners in a church because they're too guarded. And there may be some reason why. I mean, if people have mismanaged you, It's hard to come clean when you felt you when you feel like you've been done dirty. Yeah. Okay? So watch this. Watch this. I want to show you something tonight that Anthony is so powerful, man, about Koinonia. I want to show you something that's so powerful about Koinonia. You ready? The first thing I want to show you is that in Koinonia, let's go back to Acts chapter 2. In Koinonia, bless you. Watch this. In Acts chapter 2, the first thing I want to show you tonight is that in Koinonia, the needs of each other are valued and addressed. Okay, if you're taking notes, this is the first thing this is the first lesson tonight about Koinonia. The needs of each other are valued and addressed. The needs of each other are valued and addressed. There is something amazing about being in a Koinonia environment. In a Koinonia environment, no one's needs are neglected or ignored. Here's why. Because in Koinonia, sensitivity, Sherry, is extremely high. In a love culture where the Spirit of God, where the Holy Spirit is active, operative, fully functional, and where the people are under the authority of the Spirit of God and they're functioning in intimacy, in covenant, in agreement, in identification, where they are working at relationships. You want to know what's amazing? No need goes unmet. Because the level of sensitivity, everyone say sensitivity. The level of sensitivity is so high in a Koinonia environment, Taviana, until you cannot be ignored with in terms of what your needs are. And so Catherine, what happens is, and what's produced, Gina, in Koinonia is a sensitivity to the needs of each other that makes us feel accountable. Everyone say accountable. So now what happens is your needs matter to me and I take ownership of them. I don't see you with a need, or we don't see needs, Tiffany, and ignore them. So the moment that there is something that happens, Deaconess Gwen, and a need is birthed or exposed in Koinonia, we feel the burden. Wow. I don't sit around and see Janice needing something and then say, I don't have time. Koinonia, the spirit of Koinonia is so strong until I go, okay, God. First thing is I say, Father, how can I do this? How can I do this? Now, most churches immediately in today's culture, most churches go to the treasurer and say, Dan, what we got in the bank? Instead of going, okay, Father, you have given us a need. How do we address this need? Let me show you this. This is so important. Let me show you this. Watch this. You ready? Acts chapter 2, verse 44. And 45. Let's all read together. What does it say? All the believers continued together in close fellowship and shared their belongings with one another. They would. According to what? What each one what? By this time, the church had over 3,000 people. So how was a group of over 3,000 people able to identify what each one needed? See, the reason why church is so hard is that it's being driven by a spirit of selfishness and consumerism. Where basically I come in, Brother Earl, and I only want to get mine. I don't care what Yada's dealing with. I don't care what Jamisha's dealing with. I don't care what the Jones is dealing with. I just want to get mine. So I come in, I sit in my section, in my seat, and I silo me. Or I create my own little clique of people, and I make a decision. It's all about me and my 2-3 friends, or it's all about me and my family. It's all about me and whatever. And I settle in, and I only wait until the vision speaks to what I want. So if I don't have any teenage kids, I don't really care that we need a youth pastor, even though we see kids being buried every day in our community, and we got kids that are literally going to hell right in our church. I mean, we had a group of kids sit in the back and say they felt helpless, and they go to our church. Our kids, not my kids, our kids. And they sitting back there saying they feeling helpless, and you going, well, I'm fine, my kid's grown. See, the danger is that because churches become so selfish, and koinonia is a word that we use occasionally, but it's not a culture that we've bought into. We don't feel ownership for each other's needs. Man, I ain't got no kids. Yeah, it's not our DNA. Very good. Listen at this. Listen at this. Verse 45. This is what I want St. Paul to look like. Right here. They would sell their property and their possessions, distribute the money among all according to what? What each one did what? Needed. Acts 4. Again, notice how much of the beginning chapters of Acts speak of koinonia. Listen at how much of who they were as they were introduced to us talk about koinonia. It didn't talk about how much money they raised. It didn't talk about them trying to build anything. It talked about the culture of the church. All you heard was one mind, one spirit. They spent time together. They did this, they did that, they did that. And they built this community. And so listen at it. Acts 4:32, what's it say? Keep reading. Now, verse 33 snuck up on me. Deaconess Loretta snuck up on me. Everybody read verse 33. With great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection. Keep reading. Stop. So, one, they had one mind and one heart. Because they had one mind and one heart, everything they possessed, everyone experienced. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was being preached to these people all the time. And so God began to bless them. And then we go back to verse 34, and it says, and didn't nobody need nothing. And what it really means is nobody lacked. So imagine being in an environment where, first of all, okay, remember the four things I told you: community, identification, intimacy, and covenant. So watch this. Needs were not hidden because people had pride. I'm trying. I'm really trying to teach this church what church look like. I'm really trying to get y'all to get this. Listen, I know this church has 1,700 members on the roll. And for some reason, this is what God is sending me on Tuesday. Because I got a feeling that the revival in this church is going to come from a remnant of people who are so sold out to the model until they don't care what other folk don't want. Listen to me. This was so powerful about this, Elder Joe. This was powerful. Because people were comfortable in community, they were never uncomfortable in sharing. How dare you need prayer and don't tell nobody? How dare you have a need and you don't need to trust us?
But here's what we've done. We constantly tell you what we don't have, so we don't try to help you. And then we constantly operate as if God can't provide. Verse 33 blew me away because verse 33 says, and God richly blessed them. So watch this. So when we become Koinonia, not when we become deep, not when we speak in tongues, not when we lay hands, when we become Koinonia, God pours. Woo! Come on, guys. When we become Koinonia, we ain't got to beg for another dollar because God is going to create a community of people who will give freely. Why? Because you are accountable to something bigger than you. So what's happening is, the first thing is that every need is valued and addressed. So now all of a sudden, you hear the cries of children and a grandmother that ain't got no skin in the game starts saying, okay, we're going to do what we got to do to get these children saved. You hear the cries of those single women and a married woman says, oh, but I feel the burden. You hear, last week, a lady who doesn't go to our church came. One of our members brought this lady to meet with me after church was open, you know, Sunday, you know, after church was open. She brought this lady to meet with me. You know, I was, you know, some of y'all know, some of the guys took me to Atlanta Sunday to see the Red Sox. We won, praise God. The Bible says be excited when your pastor's team win. Okay, it doesn't say that. I'm sorry, but that's what it meant. All right? So, you know, I'm trying to get to Atlanta, right? But, you know, one of my spiritual daughters brings this lady. She knew the lady, but Tiffany, the thing interesting, and you'll understand this, Tiffany, well, you'll understand because you're a mother of sons. You know, this lady had two sons. They both got murdered within 3 years. And she said something in that room. She said, I woke up the day after I buried my second son and asked God, now what I'm going to do? Because all my life has been spent raising boys. So she came to me because she said, because one of our members said, I told her, Bishop, you can help her find her way. Okay, that's when y'all were supposed to shout. She said, I told her, you can help her find her way. Way what? Way through the pain of loss you can't reverse. So I sat in this room and watched this lady weep. And the first thing God said to me was, you need to create a moment for her to heal publicly. See the power of a Koinonia church is that you don't see needs and then act like you ain't obligated. I need everybody in this room to just lift your right hand, holler at God, and say, if you show it to me, I'm going to take ownership. And see, that's what's going on in many churches. Many churches, here's the reverse. You see it and then you talk about it. Child, I can't believe them young women looking like that. Well, if you see it, why don't you take ownership and begin to work with young women? We don't need your mouth if your hands don't work. You can post that. Right? And so what happens in so many churches is that people don't understand. The moment it becomes yours to see, it may become yours to speak to address, to take ownership of. You don't see the children's ministry overworked and know that you know, some of these people in children's ministry never get to church and you go, well, I ain't got nothing to do with that. No, you say, if I see the burden, that's a need I take. Is this making sense? You don't walk into church and see a piece of trash on the ground and walk past and say, they'll get it.
pick it up. Why? Because that's one less piece of trash that someone has to pick up. Because I take. Man, let me tell y'all, you know, what's really deep about my life. Here's what's really deep about my life. I'm not from this neighborhood. I'm not from this city. I was only sent here to pastor this church. I was sent here to minister to the people who come through those doors. That's what I came for. I ain't come for Cleveland Arms. I ain't come for Washington Heights. I came for St. Paul Church and whoever went here. And now the Lord got me pastoring a neighborhood. I feel like the pastor of this neighborhood. So when people put their mouth on this neighborhood, I take it personal. Because at the end of the day, Toya, when you become Konania, you take ownership. Everyone say ownership. You take ownership of needs. So all of a sudden, Jonathan, if you see something that isn't music related, you don't just simply go, well, I'm only a musician here. You take ownership. And the enemy has done an amazing job of making people who serve a selfless God act selfish. He's done a great job of making people who serve a selfless God act selfish. Okay, watch this. Let's go back to Acts 4. There was no one in the group who was in what? Those who owned fields and houses would sell them, bring the money received from the sale, hand it over to the apostles, and the money was distributed to each one according to his need. Everyone in this place, right now, every head bow, lift your hands real quick and ask the Lord, make me accountable to the needs of my family. I need you to hear that. I ain't talking about your biological family. I'm talking about your church family. Even if you're not a partner here yet, but the Lord is drawing you. Everyone lift your hands, open your mouth and say, God, make me accountable. All right, look this way. The moment that prayer becomes a legitimate part of how you understand yourself, is the moment you let nothing that you see that is failing, struggling, or going under ever go under. I see things happening in this community, and it doesn't matter whether anybody else tries. I feel the responsibility. So the first need is the need of provisions. The second need is the need of presence. Presence. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. One of the most amazing things that the Konania environment does is it meets the need of presence. P-R-E-S, presence. I know how to spell it. I just, you know, didn't feel like it. P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. R-E-S-T-P-C-T. We miss you, Aretha. Did they bury you yet? I'm just praying, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Was that the longest funeral ever? Listen, I'm not going to die no time soon, but if I ever was to die and y'all still here, we're going to have a John McCain service. I will be in the ground. If we start at 10, you will be at Potter's house by 12. And my wife will be on the plane to the Bahamas by 2. I'm going to tell her, go get a groove back. Boo-boo, go do that. No, seriously, that didn't make no sense.
This has been Living Extraordinary with Bishop John Guns. Join us Sundays in worship at 3738 Winton Drive, Jacksonville, Florida, 32208. Visit us online at www.spmbcjacks.org for service times and more.